Hello and welcome to Fatima Today. This show is produced by the World Apostolate of Fatima, USA, Our Lady's Blue Army, and brings topics to you, our viewers, related to the events in the world today. We live in tumultuous times when logic seems to have disappeared and uncertainty hangs over us. Our hope on these programs is to address the issues of the day and find solutions through adherence to the laws of God, especially through the message of Fatima. We ask that you subscribe to this podcast.
Welcome to Fatima Today. I'm your host, Barb Ernster, and I'm joined again this week with my co-host, Katie Moran. Welcome, Katie.
Oh, glad to be here.
Well, we are going to be speaking about St. Joseph today. His feast day is coming up March 19th, and he has such a powerful role in our church and in our world today. We're going to be going through all of that, but we want to start first with a Hail Mary. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Well, thank you again, Katie, for joining me. Again, we're talking about St. Joseph, whose feast day is on March 19th. He has such a powerful role in our world today, and he appeared at Fatima during the October 13th Miracle of the Sun, and he appeared with Our Lady and the child Jesus. He and the child Jesus appeared to bless the world. And many people, he didn't say a word, and St. Joseph is a man of very few words and no words in Scripture. But I want to talk about this, Katie, the importance of why he would have appeared at Fatima, especially when he is not known to have appeared in other Marian apparitions and not much in the world, but now all of a sudden he's kind of emerging. So let's go back to Knock, Ireland. I want you to tell us about that apparition.
Oh, Knock, Ireland is really an interesting apparition. A lot of people don't know about it. If they do, they don't understand it. It happened only one day, August 21st, 1879. And what happened was the lady left, Mary McClellan, I think her name was, She left, and she thought she saw three statues in the outside of the church, and she thought, why would Father leave new statues out? Because it was raining, and she left. And within a short time after that, people got called to come there, that there was something going on in the church courtyard. So they all came back, and 21 in all saw this elderly down to like about 5 or 6 years old. And what's interesting about Knock, it's not an apparition where you go into ecstasy. It was just people saw it. Anybody who came there saw it. And what they saw was Our Lady with Our Lord as the lamb behind the altar, ready to be slain. And on one side was St. John the Evangelist with his hand up like he's preaching. And to the other side, slightly back like St. John, was St. Joseph. Not a word is said at Knock by Our Lady. So theologians have assumed and thought about this, and I agree with them, that this is an apparition asking for Eucharistic reparation, because they were pointing to the sacrifice behind them. And there's so much in it if you go online and read about it. But I think this was one of the apparitions of the 19th century that prepared the world for Fatima. You had the Miraculous Medal, concert of the Immaculate Heart of Mary, and then you had one that was for reparation and Lourdes for prayer. And then this one, Eucharistic apparition, and St. Joseph is standing there silently like he did at Fatima and like he throughout Scripture. So I think this is a pull in here, getting him ready to be come out into the world, like you said, because he is the call to go to today for families. And I love that we're going to be talking about him today, because I want to get, between you and me, we should get people well educated on this great saint.
Yes, and then so this was in 1879. But he had already been declared patron of the universal church by Pope Pius IX
about 1850.
About 1850. So you see the emergence of St. Joseph coming forward. He's declared patron of the universal church. He appears at Knock, Ireland in 1879. No words are spoken, but he's there with the Blessed Mother, the evangelist St. John, the Lamb of God, Jesus, represented by the Lamb, pointing to Eucharistic reparation. And then just 48 years later, he appears at Fatima during that final apparition when the miracle was occurring and 70,000 people witnessed the sun coming out of its orbit, zigzagging toward Earth. They thought it was the end of the world, but the three Fatima children were seeing this beautiful scene in the heavens of Mary standing there with Saint Joseph, her spouse, and the child Jesus. And he, Saint Joseph, and the child Jesus are blessing the world. This to me indicates that he's coming now to join his earthly spouse Mary and the child Jesus, whom he was declared the earthly father of Jesus. Of course, we know that. The patron, the guardian of Jesus and Mary while they were on earth. And now he's coming to help them enter into this time when Mary's going to have a greater role. And we all know that our families, marriages, so many things are falling apart. Saint Joseph, the patron of fathers, the patron of workers, the patron of families, all these beautiful litanies attributed to him, he's here now to help his spouse Mary and his divine son Jesus to help us on this earth.
You know, the first saint, Barb, that brings Saint Joseph to the forefront is Saint Teresa of Avila. Mm-hmm. Prior to that, he's just, you know, privately honored. And she tells us, I have never known anyone to be truly devoted to him and render him particular services who did not noticeably advance in virtue, for he gives very real help to souls who commend themselves to them. He said, for years now, I think I have made some request of him every year on his feast day, and I've always had it granted. If my petition is any way ill-directed, he directs it to the greater good. So this great saint, wherever she wanted to found a convent, took a statue of Saint Joseph and put it there on the ground. And lo and behold, she'd get a convent founded there.
Yeah, so, Saint Joseph has been powerfully in assisting and granting favors and graces to many saints. And I know he's been very helpful to me as well when I've turned to him for any need in my family, whether it's a child that needs a job. It's helped me, you know, help me to reach a child or somebody and directing them. He's always been such a patron to me. And so talk about the ways in which St. Joseph has helped you as well, and maybe even bring in some of the other saints that you're aware of.
Yeah. What I'll do is I'm going to run through the privileges mm-hmm. granted to him. And it's related in the City of God by Venerable Maria Catherine Agreda. You can get the abridged edition from shopfatima.com. I really recommend it. If you can get the 4-volume set and can afford it, get that. But they've condensed it, and I don't know how they've done it. But Our Lady told her that St. Joseph, God granted him privileges. And the first one is the virtue of purity in overcoming sensual inclinations of the flesh. To me, this is a biggie for the young people of the world today, being assaulted on all sides. He has great power for procuring powerful help to escape sin and return to the friendship of God. So now you can go to him for people in your family that are locked into sin, as maybe mortal sin, and don't go to church. He's powerful, increasing love and devotion to the Most Holy Mary. You want to increase your love for Our Lady? Go to Joseph. That's mm-hmm. my line there. I used that for a year during the year of St. Joseph in my show, Barb. Remember, we said, go to Joseph.
Yeah.
He's for securing the grace of a happy death and protection against the demons at that hour. And when we get done here, I'll read to you how Our Lady describes his death to this in the City of God. He's also powerful for inspiring the demons with terror at the mere mention of his name. So Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, mm-hmm. they'll run from you. Number 6, for gaining health of body and assistance in all kinds of difficulties. This, to me, is one of the biggies also, because maybe your husband doesn't have a good job or is out of work. You go to Joseph. He took care of the Holy Family. You need something for the family. You go to Joseph. Mm-hmm. If I have time, I want to relate something here really cute. We were married a few years, and my one son was a severe dyslexic. And through a little research, Barb, I found out that swimming is very good for dyslexic. It gives that talking to the left and right side of the brain. Mm-hmm. So I announced it to my husband, who looked at me and said, really? You're going to get a swimming pool? He said, we can't afford it. And then I looked at him and I says, well, then I'll go to Joseph and ask him, St. Joseph. Mm-hmm. He goes, oh, well, you can ask him all you want. He's not going to get you a swimming pool. Within 48 hours, Barb, a lady called me who was a good friend of my sister and said they had a pool they were trying to give away, and she heard I needed one. Would I come look at it and see what I wanted? Well, my husband thought it was going to be a blow-up job. We got there. It was a 24-foot round aluminum pool with deck with everything you needed to run it. I mean, it was a big pool. Wow. And they incidentally had people, they got it for their son who needed it. Now they didn't need it anymore. And they had a half a dozen people who came and looked and didn't want it. As soon as we said we were going to take it, everybody came back. But the interesting part is we had to transport it to our house and we had to move it and rent a truck and put it together. And my husband goes, wow. He said, he got us a pool. Couldn't he have gotten a backyard? I said, you just asked for a pool. You didn't ask for it installed in the backyard. And then he looked at me and he says, I'll never doubt you again. Whatever you want, just tell me what St. Joseph tells you. So that's a cute story there. I'm not telling everybody pray for a pool from St. Joseph.
Well, I certainly turned to him one time when our family was going through difficulty with financials, and he helped me figure out a solution I never would have known about. And he helped me on several occasions. And yeah. I'll never forget, he's come through many, many times and helping my children get jobs. And, you know, I really go to him a lot. And I have instilled in my children too a devotion to him.
And the last one he has, number 7, which is a special love for me, securing children in families that kept trouble having children, trouble conceiving. Now, our last two are adopted, but my third son, Joseph, there's 10, 12 years between him and my first two. And in between that time, I had 6 miscarriages. And by the time the 6th one happened, I didn't want any more. So I did some reading and I found out St. Joseph does this to us. So I prayed to him. And lo and behold, I got pregnant and I did carry him, even though I spent a lot of time in bed. And I planned on having a girl, but I said, if it's a boy, we'll name him Joseph. So about when Joseph was 2.5, he was a healthy baby. When he was 2.5, I had to have complete hysterectomy. And the doctor who did it did not know. She knew I had children because I had just gone to her. So I went in there 2 weeks after the surgery, and I walked in with my 2.5-year-old because I had no one to watch him. And we're talking, and she goes, oh, is that your nephew? I says, no, this is my youngest son. She says, I knew you had 3 children, but I didn't know you had one this young. She says, honey, I did your hysterectomy. I saw your insides. You could not have carried a child a full term. I says, well, I asked St. Joseph for him. And she says, well, then he's a miracle. And from then on, when I'd go once a year to her, this doctor would ask me, how is the miracle child doing? Mm-hmm. So I've known too many people. I've said, pray to Joseph if you have trouble having children.
Yes.
And he'll give it to you. And so Joseph is the greatest gift I've ever gotten from St. Joseph. My one son.
Joseph. Yes. Well, we know that Joseph is known for his great virtues of being just, chaste, prudent, courageous, obedient, and faithful. He truly was faithful to his role that was given him by God to be the guardian of Mary and Joseph. And during the year of Joseph in 2021, we declared a year of St. Joseph for our apostolate as well. And we put together a little booklet, but Katie and I explored again this reason why St. Joseph would have been, you know, at the Fatima apparition. And we realized that, you know, he was the greatest devotee to the Immaculate Heart of Mary. He was the greatest consoler. And so we looked at the ways in which Joseph was with Mary and Jesus on earth during the, you know, if we look at the Joyful Mysteries of the Rosary, that's where you'll see Joseph in the scripture. And so I want to go through some of those mysteries so that when you're doing your first Saturday devotion or meditating on your rosaries, to invite Joseph into that meditation and look at the ways in which he is placed there by God and what role he can play in your life. So Katie, do you want to help me go through these the meditations on the Joyful Mysteries?
Oh yes, the Joyful Mysteries, yes. The first one is the Annunciation. And when you think about this for consoling the Immaculate Heart of Mary, it heralded the greatest news for our sinful humanity. Think about that, the Incarnation. God becoming man, Mary becoming a womb, becoming a living tabernacle. And we know at this great event, Joseph was not there kneeling beside her when this happened. She was by herself. Instead, what did St. Joseph have to endure? A storm of perplexities and great anguish, because he did not understand what was going on. In fact, if you read like in the City of God and other revelations by the saints, he did not doubt her purity. He doubted his own unworthiness to be around something like this, but he did not understand what was going on. He knew Mary's sanctity and great love for God, and he endured it quietly and patiently until it was announced to him. Do not be afraid, Joseph. That is what is begotten and is the Holy Spirit. So when you do the Annunciation, is as your maybe your mystery for the first Saturdays, we have Saint Joseph showing us how to bear our trials and tribulations in silence, trustful patience. And his silence says to everyone, do likewise.
Yes. Yeah, that's a really interesting, you know, there's so little written in the scriptures, but I've heard that he did not doubt Mary's purity. That's what's so important. He understood that she had a special role, and they both had taken a vow of chastity. He was already a consecrated virgin when he was asked to take her as his spouse. So both of them were, there was confusion upon both of them. Well, how are we going to have a child when, you know, Mary's question to the angel, how can this be? I do not know man. Well, she was betrothed to Joseph. So you have to believe that, you know, she wasn't asking because she didn't know how you bear a child. She was asking because they both had taken a vow of virginity and they consecrated themselves to God. And so the question she was having was, I thought I was not going to ever bear children. I'm a consecrated virgin. How is it now that I'm going to have a child? And so that's important too, that Joseph's perplexity was not that he doubted Mary and that God had something planned for her, that he himself did not understand his role in all of this. So then when she goes to visit her cousin Elizabeth, you know, we think of Mary getting on the donkey and going off to see Elizabeth. Now, let's talk about that one, St. Joseph's role there and how we can invite him into this meditation.
What's interesting about that, Barb, you and I were in the Holy Land, and we know that was no easy trip to go from Nazareth to where Elizabeth lived, and Joseph took her there. And what's interesting is he didn't remain. You know, you would think, why wouldn't he stay there? What was going on here? Because that was a long trip. It wasn't a one-day ride by the bus. But he went back to Nazareth alone with his thoughts. But we know you're never alone, for Mary was with him with her thoughts and prayers, because she was constantly thinking about him, her beloved spouse. What people understand is she loved him with an intense love. You know, and he wasn't alone. Mary was with him. And his love for her was pure and holy. And again, this meditation is silence. That again teaches us the value of not only prayer, but contemplation also. I'd like to think that Mary was St. Joseph's joyful mystery. You know, I just love that. She was his joyful mystery. So St. Joseph, where is he directing us here? Again, to prayerful silence and love of the Immaculate Heart of Mary, because she is that bridge from heaven to earth. So he's telling us, you know, we may do things and, you know, think we know what we're doing, but we've got to constantly be obedient to the love of God. And the only way that comes about is through contemplation and prayer. And I bet he did a lot of praying when he went back to Nazareth, when she was there with her cousin Elizabeth.
And then, of course, we come to the actual birth of Christ and Joseph having to lead her to Bethlehem. And, you know, when I was in the Holy Land, that we were told that there is no way you would have ever bore a child in an inn. And so the idea that they couldn't find any place in the inn was nonsense. So that was surprising to me. She would have gone to us. I don't know where she would have actually gone, but they said you wouldn't have been seeking shelter in an inn. So I wonder, I don't really know how that all happened, but they end up in a cave that was a feeding trough for the animals. And of course, Jesus is placed in the manger that was a feeding trough for the animals. And that again relates to our future feeding upon the body and blood of Christ in the Eucharist. It's all very tied together. There's no coincidences in scripture, but let's talk here about how do we meditate with Joseph in this mystery?
This one has a joy and a sorrow for him. The joy is the birth of the Redeemer. The sorrow is all he could supply as the protector of the Holy Family was that cave. And that was a sorrow to him. That's one of his sorrows. Mm-hmm. So yet here he is, a descendant of King David and his son Solomon. You know, he's of kingly descent. And yet he's a lowly carpenter. And he's the holiest. God chooses the unknown, the lowly, to raise up to heights. And his holiness was never announced in the world at that time. Mm-hmm. I like to think he's unknown and can be called the patron of unnoticed saints, because there's so many out there that are saints that we won't know about until we die to go to heaven. So we're all called to be holy, but we're not called to shout it out to the world. Mm-hmm. And Saint Joseph is our role model on how to console the Immaculate Heart of Mary, to be with her in silence, unnoticed, mm-hmm. just being there for her. And Saint Joseph shows us that, because there is not one, as you said in the beginning, there's not one recorded word of him in sacred scripture.
Right.
All we have is he's the man of silence, the just man.
I don't think there's ever been an apparition either where he's spoken. Is that you know of, where he's actually spoken?
There's one in the 1950s that's still under investigation.
Okay.
And well, it carried through up until, I think, in 1950, one person, and then there was one in the 1990s. Mm-hmm. And they're both under investigation by the bishop of their diocese, but he actually appears by himself and speaks to them.
Okay.
So speaks to the seer.
Okay, well, we have two more of the mysteries that we want to go through, and then I want to talk about some of the devotions to him. So let's talk about the presentation. What's the sorrow here for St. Joseph?
The sorrow here, there's a joy and a sorrow. There's the joy of assigning the name of Jesus to him. The sorrow is the prophecy of Simeon. Mm-hmm. He did all things according to the law. He was a good Jew. He was a just man. The Hebrews call him just. Scripture mm-hmm. calls him just. And just encompasses all the virtues. When a man was called just in the Old Testament, in the New Testament, that is really proclaiming their holiness. So the door to sanctity has a double lock. One, doing our daily duty outside. The inside key is one doing duty for God. Mm-hmm. And Saint Joseph has both those keys to help us do our daily duty, as for us at Fatima. The daily duty, because he did it, and the inside key, doing one's duty for God. So he shows us that way. He prayed, he worked, he slept. Everything he did for God who saw things secretly. So at Fatima, Our Lady asks us to offer up our daily duty, and we have Saint Joseph here. Mm-hmm. When we begin our day, we should say, for you, Lord, as your father, earthly father, foster father did for you. So this act is the inside key that leads us to sanctity.
Well, and his sorrow over the prophecy is that he heard the prophecy that would be over Mary and the child, and he knew that he wouldn't be there for her.
Yeah.
One of the sorrows. He was going to be gone. The prophecy wasn't, he wasn't going to be there with her when she went to the cross with her son and a sword pierced her own heart. So he had some understanding of the greatness of this being witnessed here, being the, called to be the earthly father of the second person in the Holy Trinity, the Son of God, and being the protector of Mary, the masterpiece of grace, the Immaculate Conception. You know, he understood all of this, and so his role was very important in what he was doing, and he fulfilled everything according to God's will. And when he didn't understand, he went to God and prayed about it. And as you said, he remained silent but trustful. Of course, he probably had stress and anxiety and all, you know, the questions and the doubts, but he just trusted, and he turned it all over to God, and he was rewarded with that. So the fifth one is the finding in the temple.
And this last one, Barb, is his last sorrow and his earthly life, because he did not live to see Jesus die on the cross. That was his greatest sorrow. Mm-hmm. And but he wasn't spared suffering. His sorrows include the, you know, agonizing dilemma, the incarnation, the birth of Jesus in a cave, Herod's wrath, his flight into Egypt, his flight back, Simeon's prophecy, and now they lose Jesus entrusted to his care. So the example he gives us here in consoling the heart of Mary is you suffer for God, and when you give everything to God, souls are saved. But he is the silent, suffering saint. And I think a lot of us can look to him for that role model, to be silent and suffering like he did, to gain the greatest benefits from all that we offer up on a day-to-day basis.
Well, and he, again, he suffered daily. He didn't always know God's will, just like Sister Lucia, just like the two children, just like all of us. He didn't always know what was unfolding, but he just continued day-to-day to follow God's will and to trust himself. And you know, I think I always meditate on what would it have been like to live with Jesus and Mary, and, you know, to be guiding the Son of God in his earthly journey. How did he even contemplate the mystery of that when the church didn't really understand the mystery of all of that until they declared Jesus had dual natures? I mean, Joseph didn't know these things, but he certainly understood through prayer, through the visits of the angel, through the things happened, that this was all unfolding and he was given this role. It's really incredible to me when you meditate on St. Joseph. And he becomes a great intercessor for all of us because he had to have been praying to the Father, to God all the time, to intercede when they needed food, when they were on their journeys, when they, you know, they were, he was working, that, you know, keep the work coming so that I can continue to take care of Mary and Jesus. I mean, there would have been many ways in which he was constantly going to the Father. And that's why I believe he's such a great intercessor for us.
Especially for families.
Yes. I want to call people's attention to St. Joseph Fatima prayer booklet that we put together during the year of St. Joseph.
Oh, yes.
It's available at shopfatima.com for $5. But there's wonderful things. There's the story of St. Joseph. There's the litany. There's also a chaplet of St. Joseph. Are you aware of this, Katie? The chaplet of St. Joseph?
Yeah.
We sell the beads. It's prayers that you say in honor of him on 60 beads. And just very simple chaplet. You can purchase that at shopfatima.com as well. And then there's a kind of a memorari of St. Joseph that's similar to the memorari we pray to the Blessed Mother. There's also a great practice in the church, the practice of the 9 First Wednesdays. This is a devotion promulgated by the Pious Union of St. Joseph. Are you familiar with that, Katie?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So this is where every Wednesday is dedicated in a special way to St. Joseph. And so when you make 9 First Wednesdays in a manner similar to the 9 First Fridays of the Sacred Heart in honor of St. Joseph for a happy death for yourself and your dear ones. And so it's a beautiful way to honor St. Joseph if you have a special devotion to him, especially on first Wednesdays of the month, to go to Mass and receive Holy Communion and say some devotions to him in a special way for the salvation of the dying, and most especially for a sinner you may know who's in great danger of losing his or her soul. I mean, St. Joseph is the patron of a happy death, and I've invited him so often to be present when I'm with somebody who's dying, to just be there to provide that happy death for that person and to intercede for them. I have to say, I have not done the first Wednesdays, but I think I should start that for 2024.
That's really nice, because the church, this is something I read years ago. You know, if you go daily Mass, there's certain things you can do the church recommends. Monday is in honor of the holy angels. Tuesday's for the poor souls. Wednesday is for St. Joseph. I forget what Thursday is. I chose it to honor the saints I have a special devotion to. Friday is the Sacred Heart. Saturday is, of course, Mary. And Sunday is all the saints. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, but Wednesday has always been dedicated to St. Joseph. It's interesting. It's the middle of the week when we need to see where we're going, I guess. Yeah.
And that's something I really didn't know. I didn't hear about that until the year of St. Joseph, when so much came out about him and these rich traditions in our church. Also, I want to draw, you know, there's a consecration you can make to St. Joseph, a prayer of consecration. We have that in our little booklet. But we know, many people know Father Donald Calloway of the Marians of the Immaculate Conception wrote a book, Consecration to St. Joseph and the Wonders of Our Spiritual Father. Many people have done this. They've read the book and they've made the consecration. And I just wholeheartedly believe we should be during this time, because of the breakdown of family and marriage and God's desire that St. Joseph be here with the Blessed Mother in helping us repair what's going on earth, to invite him into your family, make this consecration prayer, and, you know, begin devotions to him. And especially, like you said, for the family, for all the needs. Is there any final thoughts you have, Katie?
I just like the famous words of St. Teresa of Avila. You have a need, go to Joseph.
Yes.
I like that. Go to Joseph.
All right.
So whatever your needs are with your family, go to Joseph.
And take that into consideration on May 19th when we celebrate his feast day. But thank you all for joining us. And we hope to see you again next week when we return talking about our Lenten journey with Sister Lucia. Mm-hmm.